This morning's reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and is on page 1093 in the Church Bibles. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And I would add, these are Google pronunciations, in case you're worried. Not all of them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Here we go. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Younger men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And we pray that you'll do your work amongst us. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I love Pentecost Sunday. And as I was reading a story from Acts 2, every Pentecost we read Acts 2, and we've heard many times about this story. As I was reading it, I was reminded of something that I haven't thought about for a while, is that on that day, Pentecost, the disciples were gathered together, and there was this loud noise, this really loud noise, so loud that people around them came to see what was happening. And I kind of forgot... How big that noise was, that actually all the people who were scattered around came to see sort of what's happened. It's a bit like if you have a train crash over here and there's this massive noise, we'll all go and see what's happened, and we'll all kind of leave our houses and go and see what's just happened. And that's what happened that day. There's this massive noise, and people come to hear what's happened. And when they arrive, they find all this group of people speaking in different languages, and actually their own language. Pentecost was a Jewish celebration where loads of people had come to Jerusalem to celebrate a feast. And therefore, they were there from different parts, and they all spoke different languages. So when they gathered, they heard their disciples speaking in their own language. And it's a very strange situation, isn't it? It's like if you are, say, in Germany, and suddenly there's this group of really strongly German people, and they start speaking in any amount of different languages, like French and Spanish and English and sort of Indian and kind of language Chinese, all these languages you would never expect them to speak, and actually the perfect accent. And you're thinking, what's going on? What's happening here? But the great thing is, in this very strange situation, because it was a very strange situation, people didn't leave. People didn't say, oh, these are a bunch of weirdos, let's just go as far as possible from them. They stayed. There was a few who laughed at them, but most of them just stayed. Most of them were just there. And I was thinking about, why did they stay? So why would you go into a room where this bunch of people speaking in a strange language? Why would you stay? Why would you? And I think it's because God's presence was there. And there's nothing as attractive as God's presence. There's nothing that draws us in as much as God's presence, as Holy Spirit there. Holy Spirit is a source of love and peace and joy. And actually, if you go in and there's that presence, you don't want to leave, you just want to stay. And even if you find something a bit weird, like these Galileans speaking in your own language, you'll stay because there's something stronger that's drawing you into that. And that's actually what Pentecost is all about. It's God's presence with us. It's God's presence coming to us and sending us out to different places. But the main thing is the attraction is God's presence. And there's nothing as attractive as God's presence with us. And what I find lovely about this is that there's a big paradigm shift. Because before that, the disciples were with Jesus. So the one who sent them out would kind of be with them for a while, but then wasn't with them. So Jesus sends his disciples out, and they had to go and do missions, and then come back and report and tell him what had happened. And so they'd be with Jesus, then go, come back here, then go again, come back. But Jesus wasn't physically with them as they went out to the mission. And that's the paradigm shift in Pentecost, that the one who sends us out, the Holy Spirit who fills us, actually goes with us. And he is with us as we do the mission, as we do his work. He is with us the whole time, and he empowers us to do that. So if he calls us to love our neighbor, it's not only that he says, go and love your neighbor. He's saying, go, and I'll go with you, and I'll fill you with the love you need to do that work. And that's amazing. That changes everything, doesn't it? If we know that the one who sends us, the one who's responsible, is the one who is there with us. It's a bit like when you're organizing an event. There's someone who's responsible, and you know that at the end of the day, they are in charge. That's the person who we respond to. And we are kind of given a little responsibility. So say if there's an event and you're called to, say, move a chair, then you go, you move your chair. But you know that if you do it wrong, there's someone else who's responsible. You're not in charge of the whole event. And with God's mission, the thing is, God is in charge of his mission. God is the one who is more eager to love people than we are. God is the one who's more eager to reveal himself to other people than we are. So he's responsible for that mission, and he goes with us as we do it. And it's so liberating to know that actually, say, our mission statement as a church is transforming communities, knowing Christ and making him known. But at the end of the day, the one responsible to do that is God, much more than us. It's the Holy Spirit that does the transformation and makes Jesus known. And we are just part of what he's doing. And that's the lovely thing of Pentecost. He sends us, but he goes with us, and he does the work with us. So in the middle of the chaos and of the speaking different tongues and people not really knowing what's happening, Peter stands up and he gives a sermon. And the lovely bit about that is that Peter doesn't stand up alone. It says that Peter and the 11, they all stood up together and they were all standing together. And Peter obviously spoke, but they were all in it together. It wasn't suddenly now Peter's responsible and he's in charge and he has to do the thing. It's actually, he does it with the people around him. They're all in it together. And in our mission of transforming Ashton and around, we are in it together, but actually it's God's mission. He is in charge and he is the responsible one for it to be accomplished. So Peter stands up and he explains and he says, look, actually guys, this is what was prophesied in Joel hundreds of years ago. And this is what he reads. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below. And Joel is talking about these prophetic gifts. He talks about seeing visions. They will prophesy. They will dream dreams. And whenever we talk about these things, we can become a bit skeptic and a bit cautious and a bit, well, how do we know it comes from God? Does God still speak to us today? Will God reveal to us today? And some of us might say, I've seen people say things that are ridiculous in God's name. Will someone suddenly stand up and say, God said this, then everyone has to follow it? And how can we argue with that? And therefore, many times, we get a bit scared about the fact that God can reveal things to us. But it's here, and God does it. And God did it 2,000 years ago, and he still does it today. Because we need guidance. We need to know where to go and what to do. And we need God to speak to us. And therefore, these gifts that God brings to us are actually amazing. And they're great to have. And how do we know if you're called to, say, ordained ministry? It's a very Anglican thing to say, but if you're called to lead worship, and if you're called to help with the young people, or if you're called to help with children, how do you know that? You need God to speak to you. We need God to reveal to us. We need God to guide us. And that's what prophecy is all about. But I think in many ways, it's such a strong word that we get a bit scared of it, and we get a bit cautious. Because we have the Old Testament prophecy, where actually God would reveal something and they'd say, the Lord says, and it was actually the Lord saying. But now in the New Testament, this has changed because it says that the Holy Spirit has poured out for everyone. So we all have the Holy Spirit, and we all potentially are guided, and God reveals stuff to all of us. And therefore, I'm a bit weary of using the word prophecy, because it's always this word that we don't interpret well and we're a bit scared of. But actually, it's as simple as God revealing something to us. It's as simple as encouraging someone, and someone who's not doing very well, and suddenly you go and you say, look, Jesus promised to be with you every day, and if you're going through a difficult time, Jesus is with you. And that's a message from God, and that in a way is a prophecy. And that is what God does through us and with us. And that's why I'm trying to kind of keep this balance between everything we do in the power of the Spirit, which comes from God, in a way is a prophecy. And therefore, let's try and not label it as something that's scary and sort of very far beyond, because then we can sort of use it wrongly, or we can feel, oh, that's weird, that's not for us. How do we know it comes from God? So 1 Corinthians 14 says, and hopefully, there we are, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And Paul says especially prophecy, but I think it's in this more natural, normal way. It's not in the thus says the Lord, this is what's going to happen, and in 2 years' time this is going to happen. No, it's in this sense. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So prophecy in the New Testament is not saying in 5 years' time, 9/11 is going to happen or something like that, necessarily. It's more about giving a message from God which strengthens, encourages, and comforts someone. So if you kind of see someone in need and you say something that's encouraging, that's a message from God. And that, in a way, is this kind of prophecy. And this is something that actually Paul is really encouraging us. He's saying, actually, we should all prophesy. We should all want this, because this encourages one another. This builds us up. This builds the people around us. And it actually does still happen today in many ways. In a very natural way, when we encourage one another, we are giving a message from God. And sometimes in a more special way, when we suddenly feel, I feel someone's going through something, I'm just going to give them a message, just encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them, just going to pray for them, just going to send them a text or an email, or if I see them, pray for them. And that's what God still does today. And just an encouragement from this, a few months ago we have, every once a term more or less, we have a thing here which we call listening prayer, which we meet in groups of three, and basically what we do is we pray and we say, God, is there anything encouraging you'd like to say to the person next to me? So we spend a few minutes in silence and see what happens. And many times, to be honest, I don't feel much, so, and I don't know much, and sometimes, but sometimes I do feel, well, this might be from God, but I've no idea if it actually is or not. But I just say, look, this is what I have in my heart. I feel God wants, is saying this. And a few months ago, we had this, and I was in a group of three of us, and two of us wrote in a little paper the exact same word, and the third one wrote something that was very similar and linked to that. And that really encouraged me to realize that actually God does want to reveal stuff. He does want to share. And I know it's scary, and there's a lot of excesses, and a lot of people who say, the Lord says this, and it's wrong, and therefore we have to make sure we do it in a loving, humble way. But God wants to speak to us. The God who poured out His Spirit in Pentecost wants to pour out the Spirit amongst us today and wants to encourage us to listen to His voice and share with one another, encourage one another, build one another up. And I think if you've been a Christian for a while, then many times we tend to forget about these things, or we've had sometimes bad experiences because we have a lot of mixture between loving, humble people and sometimes people who aren't very well, and sometimes they share things more from the need to be felt as a spiritual person, and therefore they say something that's wrong. But I hope we don't discard this, because this does build us up, sharing God's message, encouraging one another, strengthening one another. And to finish, I'd like to share something I've been thinking about, and that is that Pentecost is basically a shift from doing things in our strength to doing things in God's strength. Pentecost is all about saying, it's not about my strength, it's about His strength. Because if you see what happened in that Acts 2, it's not about the disciples and what they can do, it's about what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's about people coming and feeling that presence and just wanting more, wanting to stay there. So Pentecost is basically about trusting in what God can do through us, what God wants to do through us, and knowing that He is the one who wants to do it much more than us. So therefore, it's being open to what He wants to do. World War II, this was a big event when Hitler fell, when Hitler was beaten. And in many ways, I think Pentecost has a similarity with that, because it's this time when basically Hitler was already conquered, but the people around the world didn't really know about this. People in other places in Europe didn't know this. People were still imprisoned, but didn't hear the news yet. But that had happened, and probably happened a while ago, and they still didn't know that that had happened. And suddenly, the news started to spread out, and suddenly people started sharing about the great news that the victory had come, and that they were free, and they were starting to get out of the prisons. And in many ways, Pentecost is that news starting to spread out. Jesus died and rose again, and then in Pentecost, that news is starting to spread out. Those ripples of the good news and the celebration of liberty and freedom are starting to go out around the world. And that's what Pentecost is all about. It's the good news of what Jesus has already done being spread out amongst us, around us, and that ripple effect going, and the love and the peace and the joy that comes with knowing Holy Spirit in our lives starts going around the world. And that was what's in the heart of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming and that news spreading around. And I think for us, Pentecost should be the same thing. Us gathering as a church is the same thing. We come and we remind ourselves who we are. We remind ourselves what God has done, we come and we search for Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, we want more. We want that love and we want that peace and we want those gifts and we want those messages to share with others. We want to go out and encourage others with the love and the work you've done for them. And then we go out and that ripple effect, that good news goes out everywhere. Jesus said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think there's so many people around us who are lonely, who are hurting, who don't feel valued, who don't feel loved, who feel lost, who feel orphans in this world, broken. And we know a God who heals. We know a Jesus who calls us in. We know a Holy Spirit that restores us. We know a God who gives us identity and a reality that we are sons and daughters of him. We know a Holy Spirit that just fills us with love and joy and grace and peace and generosity and humility to share with others. So let us come to that source of peace. Let us come to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Fill me once again. Fill me with that love. Fill me with that presence, that so attractive presence, that presence that calls us in. And give me the gifts you want to give me to be able to spread that love with everyone around us. If you could just spend a minute in prayer, responding to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Holy Spirit, fill me once again. Holy Spirit, give me whatever gifts you want to give me. Holy Spirit, there is more. Let us spend a minute in silence. Holy Spirit, your presence is the best thing we can ask for. It's the only thing we need. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll come into our lives. Fill us anew once again this morning. Fill us with the fruit of who you are in us. Fill us with the gifts you want to give us. Fan into flame the gifts we've already got. Remind us who we are in you. Remind us what we are called to do. Remind us the beauty of your presence. Remind us how much you love us. Remind us how much you love the world around us. Remind us that we are called to love others. Fill us once again. We pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Come into this church. Invade us. We want more of who you are in us. We need more of who you are.